Hopefully all of you've got a handout this morning. If you didn't, it's somebody else's fault other than mine today. Anybody, let's see. Everybody have a handout? Anybody need a handout? Everybody got one? Okay, good. All right. Brother Don's standing by there in the back. Just make sure. Revelation. Where am I at? I'm telling you, that sock thing's messing me up today. Got me all off kilter. Psalm 95. The time of Thanksgiving in America began when a group of colonists survived the first year and a half in a brutal winter. Many of them died. In fact, over half of them died the first year and a half to 2 years. Those early settlers, those early pilgrims, set aside 3 days in December 1621 to give thanks to the Lord for a bountiful corn harvest. Many years later, 1789, George Washington proclaimed November 26 as a day of national thanksgiving unto the Lord for the granting of independence from Great Britain. That came at great cost and great struggle, by the way. It wasn't until 1863 that Abraham Lincoln, right before the war between the states, revived the tradition of rendering thanks unto the Lord. And finally, in 1941, the United States Congress, one of the good deeds that they've done, they decreed the fourth Thursday in November to be a national day of thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe that we will celebrate as a nation many of these holidays for many more years. I believe the cancel culture is going to eradicate them in a lot of ways. And so it's important that we understand and realize why we give thanks, to whom we give thanks to. We give thanks unto the Creator. That's how all of this was founded, how all this started. Thanksgiving didn't begin in America, though. The book of Psalms, written several thousand years ago. God's people have always been a thankful people. And we ought to learn to be a thankful people again. Because truly, there are a lot of things that we can be grateful for. So let's read a couple verses today. I'll encourage you maybe to fill in the blanks on your outline and maybe circle some words in the Bible. Before I do that, I'm reminded of a lady that was a cook. She was not a good cook, though. One year, the family decided that they should eat home for Thanksgiving. She said, "I've cooked this turkey for the first time, and I'm going to bring it to the table. If it's not good, don't say a word. If it's not good, there'll be no negative comments. We will simply get up and go to a restaurant for a meal." So she went to the kitchen to get the turkey, only to come into the dining room to see her husband and son at the table with their hats and their coats on. You understand? They were ready to go out to eat, all right? It doesn't always turn out like you want it to turn out. But it's still a time to be thankful. We'll pause this week as a nation and give thanks. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. If you circle words in your Bible, I would encourage you to circle the word "come" there. It's used three times in this passage. And I'll give you a definition for it in your notes, but we'll cover that in a minute. Verse number 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto Him with song." Verse number 3, "For the Lord is a great God." You know, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize that He is a great God. I also realize this, He is a good God. He's a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills of His is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Verse number 6, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Verse number 7, "For He is our God." By the way, He'll never become our God until verse number 6 happens. Until we come into His presence, until we are willing to worship Him and bow down before Him and kneel before Him, He is not our God. But once we learn to do those things, He becomes our God. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, here's a word, a conditional word, if. If you'll hear His voice, in verse number 8, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. This is a reference back to the book of Exodus, whenever God's people decided to disobey God and turn their back on Him. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I share in my wrath, that they shall not enter into my rest. Verse number 1 of Psalm 96 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heaven, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. I'll stop there. Psalm 95 through Psalm 100 are great Thanksgiving psalms. Hey, why don't we do this week? Oh, thank you for talking back to me. Really? I don't know what I said to cause Siri to start talking to me, but what was I saying? Hole in the sock, Thanksgiving this week, whipped cream in the mouth. Man, I tell you what, I really like that idea. Just whipped cream straight out of the can. I hear Colby and Ellie back there talking. They must like that too. Today, let's read Psalm 95. Tomorrow, let's read Psalm 96. And let's do that throughout this week. And just read those verses, meditate on those verses, maybe even pray those verses back to God. I guarantee you, it'll help you this week to get a grasp on the real meaning of Thanksgiving. Psalm 95, though, reveals three truths of grateful people. Three truths. Let's go with number one today, Amber. Number one, I want you to see with me the witness of God's people. The witness of God's people. We witness through Thanksgiving. You do realize that, right? We witness whenever we give thanks to God. We witness whenever we're joyful, whenever we reflect the Spirit of God. The word in verse number 1, verse number 2, and verse number 6, the word come means to move toward, to advance near in any manner from any distance. Can I tell you today? It's not all about you being perfect. It's about you becoming more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. It's about us moving closer to Him no matter where we're at. Don't let the devil tell you you're too far away. It won't work in your life. You've gone too far. The devil says that, but God says come. Advance from any distance. We witness through Thanksgiving. This is a choice that is to be made. You and I are as close to God as we want to be. This time of the year in Indiana and growing up in Florida, it wasn't as distinct as it is here. But driving in today, I looked at the dead landscape. 2 weeks ago, the trees were magnificent in their beauty, the leaves, as they were giving off their beauty. By the way, I'm amazed that the leaves only really look beautiful whenever they die. Think about it. You and I only look beautiful whenever we die to self. Amen? Just a thought. But here, I'm driving in today, and I'm looking at all these dead trees, and in there once in a while, there's a green tree. It refuses to give in. It's an evergreen tree. I have some of those in my yard. But an evergreen tree is always green despite the changes in weather around it. It is green in the heat of the summer as well as green in the cold of winter. So our lives should be characterized by an enduring thankfulness that is unaffected to the changes or by the changes around us. No matter what's going on in our world today, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be ever thankful, evergreen people for God. And all God's people said, and so now whenever you look out there and you see that evergreen tree, you think, you know what? I'm going to be thankful. Because the truth of the matter is, my circumstances do not change, my circumstances should not affect my thanksgiving. God's people should be known because they have a gratitude attitude. I read this one time. It says a bad moment for an atheist is whenever he feels grateful and he has no one to thank. Amen. We're looking around and we're like, thank you, God. So we enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Look at it in verse number 1 again. It says, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. But let all them that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou, O God, defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, God's people need to be joyful. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I need to be a grateful, thankful people. Our world today has got enough sad sack people. It's got enough miserable people. You and I need to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. We need to request or ask his help with thanksgiving. We're not careful, our prayer lives will just become a list of, God, I need this, I need this, I want this, I've got to have this. Even in those times, we ought to pause and say, thank you. Thank you. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. We ought to enter in his presence with thanksgiving. When our wills and our desires and our dreams line up with God's will, God's desire for our life, then when we ask the things that we want, he'll give them to us. How many of you prayed over and over and over for something and you just sensed that that wasn't what God wanted for your life? Well, you say, what do? You change it. Make it so that God can answer it. You say, well, how do I do that? Listen to him. He'll direct you. He's a good God. He's a great God. In everything, give thanks. The Bible says that. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By the way, the man that wrote that was in jail at the time. Matthew Henry, one of the men that wrote a commentary for the Bible. A commentary is whenever someone goes to the Bible and they put their comments on each verse. They tell you what it means. Matthew Henry is one of those that will very seldom lead you wrong. If you don't have a Matthew Henry commentary, you ought to get one. All right? You can get one on your computer, get it on your phone, and all that. But you say, I don't know what that verse means. Well, Matthew Henry oftentimes will help you understand some of the words, some of the phrases to it. But Matthew Henry is robbed one time. Wrote in his diary. By the way, this has happened to several God's people in the past. John Wesley, same thing. But Matthew Henry is robbed. And he wrote in his diary the following. And here's what he writes. Let me be thankful. He was robbed. So he writes, let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Okay. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. That's a good one. Amen. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't very much. And he said, finally, let me be thankful for this, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. You know what he said? In all things, in everything, give thanks. You say, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know, but I know one that does. And you and I miss a lot of great things because we refuse to be thankful. We witness to others with a thankful heart, a thankful attitude. We witness to others with a joyful spirit. There's something about, and you know, there are some people that are happy, and miserable people don't like being around happy people. I know. They're like, I don't want to be around them. Why? Because their happiness might rub off on me, and I don't want to be happy. I like being miserable. Christians should testify through thanksgiving and joy. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody where? In your heart unto the Lord. The passage here deals with the heart a couple times. No, if my heart is not right, nothing else will be right in my life. If my heart is hard and not tender, then I will not be a joyful, happy Christian. I got to learn to give thanks. Benjamin Franklin said years ago, he said, to the discontented man, no chair is easy. You know what he's saying? Whenever you're miserable, nothing is comfortable. Learn to be thankful. Learn to be joyful. The witness of God's people is through thanksgiving and through joy. Number two, not only see the witness of God's people, but I want you to see with me the worship of God's people. Worship. Verse number three, the Bible says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. Here's two words to circle. Above all. Above all. Above all gods. I guess the question we have to ask is He above all gods in my life? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hosea says this, come, let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. Have you ever felt like you've been smitten? Have you ever felt like you've been torn? You say, I don't know where to turn. Turn to God. Turn to God. The word worship, I think we have this on the screen. I know that it's in your notes. The word worship is a combination of two words, worth and ship. We worship what we deem as worthy. I see in our culture today a lot of things that people worship. 2 years ago, a lot of people were mad at NFL because of the way that their woke culture is going. I'm not going to never going to watch another NFL game again. I'm not going to do any of that. And then next thing you know, the stadiums are packed out full with all the folks. Several of them made comments on Facebook. And then next thing I know, I see them sitting at the Colts game, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to a Colts game. You know why? Because there are hypocrites there. Have you ever heard that about church before? Amen. Aha! So now, see? There's hypocrites in every area of life. Worship is subjective and objective. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Subjective is this. If I desire to worship, this is my attitude, I will worship. If I don't want to worship, I won't. My attitude is important. Not only is it subjective, but it's objective. Here it is. I will worship something or someone. If I'm not worshiping God as a Christian, then I have to ask the question, whom am I worshiping? Because I will worship something or someone. I'm created like that. A study years ago in a University of California study studied people, and it said those who offer gratitude are less envious and resentful. I thought, that's good. It says they sleep longer. That's good. They exercise more. I must not be very thankful. And they have a drop in blood pressure. I know that I really need to be more thankful. Amen. It says whenever you're thankful and you are grateful, you are less envious, you sleep better. By the way, forgiveness will help you sleep a lot better. An unforgiven spirit, a resentful spirit, well, it will destroy your sleep. And whenever you lose sleep, it is hard, hard to live your life. Very difficult. We worship God as our Savior. Verse number one, he says at the end of it, he says, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I'm so glad that in an ever-changing world that Jesus Christ is a rock. God is a rock that is not moved. Our culture has shifted in so many different crazy ways, and they're reaping so much of it right now. We're seeing right now a rash of sexual assaults in high schools across America where they have allowed boys to go into girls' bathrooms. Now, I don't know how a woman's bathroom is. I'm sure it's different than a man's. But there ought to be safety in certain places for ladies. Amen? And what we've done is we've taken away many of those safe places. By the way, when you hear the words sexual assault, what that means is somebody was brutally raped. And they're covering it up. And what they're trying to do is, well, we just need... No, what we need to do is go back to this. If you're a man, you go into the man's bathroom. And if you're a woman, you go into the woman's bathroom. And all God's people said, listen, you just go back. There are only two genders. It doesn't matter what they identify as. I don't care about that. And it's destroying our young people in so many ways. That a young lady in school ought not to worry about some perverted guy in the bathroom with her. And then we got school boards. Well, it's not such a big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. And parents ought to burn those places down. Not physically, but literally. Not literally, maybe. Theoretically, how about that? Last time I said that, I got in trouble about something. Amen? But literally, seriously, there ought to be something done about that. Those people ought not to make decisions like that. You say, well, it's not in my school. It's coming. If those schools take government money, it's coming. And you and I need to be ready for it. Maybe a couple boys that are in school, if they saw a guy walking into a girl's bathroom, maybe what they ought to do is grab him and drag him out, drag him into the boy's bathroom, put his head in the toilet, and flush it a couple times. We used to call those swirlies, by the way. Amen? And if you've never gotten one, you've not lived. Amen? If you've never given one, that's even better. I'll just say that. All right. That's what I heard anyway. We worship God as our Savior because He's a rock. Everything else in our world today is shifting. It really is. Some of the things that we used to say, I can always count on that. It's hard to count on them nowadays. But we can count on this. God will always be our rock. The Word of God will always be the Word of God. We worship Him as our King. We worship Him as our Creator. We worship Him not only by our attitude, but by our actions. Our actions. In verse number 2, it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with song. You know, church is one of the few places that we can all gather together and sing together. Let's sing. I don't sing that good. Evelyn will tell you that. She teases me, all right? She's heard me a couple times whenever everybody else was quiet, and I just sing right out. And I can see her. She's like, oh my goodness, preacher's singing again. But we worship. There's something about the Christian songs that stir us. We worship in our songs. We worship it in our service. We see the witness of God's people. Thanksgiving and joy in your life will be a witness that you are different. Our worship. We worship Him in our attitude. How's your heart today? Out of the heart flows all these things. We worship in our actions. How are you going to serve God this week? Through singing? Serving? Stewardship? But I also see in these verses a warning. A warning. He says we need to witness through our lives. We need to worship Him. But here's the warning. Verse number 7. The Bible says, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And then notice this, today, I have the word if circled in my Bible in red. Today, if ye will hear His voice, and then I have the two words, harden not your heart. There's a warning here. There's a warning. When we make gratitude a priority, we will witness through thanksgiving, we will worship in attitude and actions, but when we make gratitude a priority, also begin to hear the warnings of God. There's a warning here against faithlessness. He says, today if you will hear. Many times we think of faithlessness in the area of marriage. Someone is unfaithful to their spouse. But there's a lot more of it of Christians being unfaithful to God. There's a warning to that. Faithlessness. the American church today, America as a nation today, has literally hardened its heart like the nation of Israel did. And you read about what the judgment that fell upon the nation of Israel, and you know that it's coming. Abraham Lincoln gave a speech, and he said this, and this is 1863, it's 148 years ago. Could you imagine if he gave a speech today, what it'd be like? In 1863, he gave this speech. He says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved in many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown." That's great. But we've forgotten God. This is 1863. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our nation's sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. May I say that that latter part of that paragraph greatly is needed today. That's a warning, by the way. A warning. It's a warning against faithlessness, but there's also a warning against being unthankful. Looking at verse number 8, first two words, harden not your hearts. A little boy was asked to pray for dinner. Right before he bowed his head, he looked at the dish of food before him. Then closing his eyes, he said, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I'll thank you and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." Thanklessness. 75 years ago, the key word in America was duty. It's my duty. It's my honor to do it. Today, it's rights. Rights. The church of Laodicea, written about in Revelation, the church of the Laodicean people was known as the people's rights. It's my right. How many of you have heard this phrase lately? That's not my job. Heard that? That's not my job. I fired people years ago for saying that. Because if you drew a paycheck from me, it was your job. It didn't matter what it was. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Here it is. Ready? Unthankful. Unholy. You know, sometimes we've allowed the culture to influence us, and we too have been unthankful. As I go through my life, I realize that I don't think that I'm as thankful now as I used to be. And my thankfulness ought to increase the more that I see going on around me. Gratitude, thankfulness will cause us to witness through thanksgiving. Whenever I'm thankful. In every area, God gives a choice to us. He says in these verses, "Let us come, let us bow, let us worship, let us kneel." And he says, "Let us not allow our hearts to grow hard." So I guess the question today is this one. Last question. What's your choice today? Thankful or unthankful? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Are you a Christian today? Has there ever been a time in your life that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Well, yes, there is." Are you thankful? You say, "Well, yes." Have you been thankful today? What else is going on in your life? Listen, God's giving you health. It may not be perfect health, but He's giving you health. Many of you He's given a spouse. It may not be a perfect spouse, but He's given you a spouse. He's given you children. It may not be perfect children, but He's given you children. He's given you grandchildren. They probably are perfect. He's blessed us. He's given us a great church. Great singing this morning. Great spirit. Great pastor. Just thought I'd throw that in. Are we going to be thankful? It's a choice, by the way. It's a choice. Whenever God's people choose to be thankful, it's amazing what happens to those around us. Whenever I choose to be thankful, it's amazing what God does in my heart and my life and all God's people say. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? How many of you have experienced that? I have. Well, let's do that. Heads bowed, eyes closed today.